Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another pod from the Highbury Squad. So I've got a full house tonight. Soph, evening, how are you?
Afternoon, how are you?
It's afternoon in La La Land, isn't it?
Not even quite, actually. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, so
oh,
I lied.
Wow. Okay. For those that ask me what La La Land is, it's LA, because someone did tweet me the other day and wasn't sure what I meant. So let's just say our Soph is in LA. You all right? Yeah?
Have they been living under a rock?
I don't know.
I mean, there was even a bloody film called La La Land that won Academy Awards. What is wrong with people?
I know, but we're dealing with the general public. What can you
right.
say? And I was just about to say what they voted for, and I thought, no, I'm not going there. Let's not get political. So hi, Soph. Right. My podcast brother, our podcast brother, Mr. Campbell, Super Kev. All right, Kev?
Hi, Amanda. I'm fine. Thank you, darling.
It feels like me and you are just doing pod after pod after pod, isn't it, in the last few weeks?
I know. It's been a busy week, isn't it?
It's a busy one, yeah. And we've got to do our predictions for Huddersfield later, which we will do. But tonight we have a special guest with us. Not an Arsenal fan, a Man United fan. Don't all boo and turn off. Listen to what he's got to say. Welcome,
boo.
Mark. No, I said not you, Soph. I'm talking about everybody else.
Evening, you're right.
Welcome, Mark. Hello.
Hi, you're right.
We're good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm looking forward to it, to be honest, because I'm a very realistic Manchester United fan and have been for a number of months now. So, you know, I think apart from the history, I think the present, we're probably going to, you know, I wouldn't say agree, but I probably will see your perspective more than defending United at the moment, because it's pretty depressing.
Well, it's quite interesting, actually. And for our listeners, Mark is, would you say that you're similar to what Arsenal Fan TV do? Are you similar in that vein of being interviewed after matches and ranting and raving and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, we try not to do that, because I think, unfortunately, Arsenal Fan TV has become, you know, a little bit of a cliche to people. Although I get on with Robbie very well, we've sort of, you know, we want to steer clear of that, sort of the same people on after every show and the sort of ranting. But having said that, you can sort of see where it comes from, because we're now going through with Mourinho what Arsenal went through with Wenger for a very long time. So, you know, I can empathise with the frustrations that they had, to be honest. But yeah, we do the fan cams, we do match reactions, previews and things like that.
Let's just touch on that, actually. It's quite interesting. When we had a Wenger in, Wenger out situation where it actually got really toxic, people were like either really defending him or really wanting him gone. And then there were the people in the middle that didn't want to abuse him, like myself, but just needed a change and wanted him gone. Soph and Kevin were with me on this as well. We're not, you know, we weren't abusing as such. But what's it like now? Do you have this section of fans where it's Mourinho in and Mourinho out, or is it different?
I think with, I don't know whether it's the same with Arsenal, but you do sort of get this mythical top red mentality where match going fans, certainly the away fans, are very supportive of Mourinho. And then you've probably got this sort of myth that the fans who don't go to games, that sort of like the global support, are against Mourinho. But the last game I went to, because I didn't go last night, because if it's on the telly, I do things, sort of call-ins for the global fans. The last game I went to was Palace, and, you know, I sat there, and I'm not somebody who would boo. You know, I was not very happy, but after the game, there was a lot of boos in the ground. So I just think, you know, fans make their own mind up, and I don't think they're defined by where they are in the world or whether they go to games. So I think at the moment we're probably around 70% out, 30%, well, maybe 20%, and then 10% on the fence.
Does it get toxic like it did with our fans?
I mean, I watched a lot of the Arsenal fan TV stuff, and I think the longevity of the Wenger thing caused a lot of frustration. I mean, even as an outsider, I think he just went on too long. I mean, I know he did great things. I mean, obviously that rivalry for me was the best Premier League has ever had, United and Arsenal under Wenger, but it went on for too long. So I think that the toxicity that you talk about probably was just, you know, I can sort of feel that myself. I'm after last night and recent results, I'm sort of like the Fulham game on Saturday. I'm like, I mean, I'll watch it, but I'm like, we're probably going to win, and that keeps him in the job. And it's like, long term, I just know he's not the right man. So I can understand it. And I think we're on the path to toxic. Yeah.
Why do you think that 10%, the thing I think with myself, Amanda and Kev, we've always talked about is we never quite understood towards the end why that 10, 20% was still supporting Wenger, even though he had been there much longer and, like you said, much longer period of time of toxicity. He'd given us our greatest season ever in the Invincibles, or Amanda would argue 89 was better than that. But why do you feel like in the short space, I can understand Gunner fans wanting to stick with Wenger because of that loyalty, but why do you think that 10, 20% want Mourinho to stick around? Where do you think that's coming from?
I think there's a few factors. I think there are some people in life who just want to back the manager. I mean, Gary Neville's a prime example of that. He wanted to keep David Moyes in a job, which is, you know, laughable to me, but some people have that mentality. Then you've got the few people who, you know, last night there was a bit of booing for Paul Pogba at the ground, apparently. And, you know, they want to blame the players and say they're not playing for the manager. Then there's people who want to blame the board and say that, you know, he should have been backed in the summer. I mean, for me, all those theories are nonsense. But yeah, I think that's what it is. I just think that there are people who just have different opinions. They are in the minority, but, and then there's people who just, you know, they're just not like that. They don't want to, turn against the club. I suppose they see it as that win, lose or draw, support the club.
Okay. So, oh, sorry, Gansoif.
No, I was going to say, like, in his first season, he won right away. He won Europa League and he won the League Cup. You know, and, you know, trophies that maybe in the past he would have poo-pooed, but in typical Mourinho style, he lauds it when he's the one who's bringing the silverware. And then it's just gone really pear-shaped since then. And I think one of the things that for us was that the players were always very quiet at Arsenal. You only heard the rumblings towards the end of Wenger's reign, but it seems like the players have been using some type of spokesperson to get their message out in terms of what's really going on in the dressing room and all those things. Do you feel like, you know, that he's completely lost the dressing room now? Is it true that he's called Pogba a virus? I mean, I think that we're seeing things happening at your club that we never quite did see happening at our club, maybe more so when Alexis Sanchez was there causing most of those problems.
I think you touched on it. The big difference between Mourinho and Wenger is that Wenger has a history with your club and a very significant history. Mourinho has a history and he's not afraid to tell people what it is, but it's none of it's with United, you know, none of these titles or anything like that. I think that there are certainly leaks coming out from Mourinho, and I think there are leaks coming out with certain players. I mean, I think the biggest issue is Pogba and Mourinho. I've known for a long time that there is an issue between those two people, and I think some fans want to believe that it can be resolved because Pogba puts the odd good performance in, but they've both admitted it's a professional relationship. And, you know, I think he will have attacked Pogba in the dressing room, you know, verbally after the game, and I think Pogba would have gone back at him and said the style of football suppresses me, which I agree with. Hence, I think he had to drop Pogba last night. I wouldn't drop Pogba, but I think Mourinho would have been a hypocrite if he hadn't. So there are massive issues in that dressing room because Pogba's massively influential. He's been through the youth setup. He's, you know, obviously he's popular with the French players like Martial. So I think there is a divide. And I think Mourinho is a sort of manager who has a professional relationship with most of his squad and has a select three or four players that are like in his club. Which is clearly Matic, Lukaku, and Fellaini at United.
Okay, can I just ask you? You touched on, well, Sophie mentioned Sanchez, which obviously our player that became your player. The last three or four months of Sanchez playing for us, it wasn't very good. I mean, and I've loved him for every moment, you know, up to that point that he was with us. Do you think that was a United signing or a Mourinho signing? Because it seemed like the fans were absolutely, you know, over the moon that he was joining, and it really hasn't worked out, has it?
No, I mean, I remember it this time last year. Funnily enough, it was Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV who dropped me a message a week before and said he's definitely coming. And I was like, oh, right, okay, because no one really thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And we needed a right midfielder, a right-sided player. So we were like, well, we've got Martial, who was scoring goals. You got Lukaku up front. You put Sanchez there. Brilliant. You know, and actually, I thought, you know, this could be another Van Persie, getting somebody absolutely bang prime. And then he comes in and he puts him on the left wing and drops Martial. Sanchez wanders into Pogba's space, so it ruins Pogba. Lingard stopped playing well. Rashford stopped getting games. So the signing actually wiped out about half of our team straight away. I feel sympathetic to Sanchez. I think he's like many flair players at United. Mourinho just cannot get the best out of them. But where he put him in the team destroyed half our team as well straight away.
Okay, so, you know, I mean, we could all see that. And to be fair, I don't have much sympathy for Sanchez. He went for the money. And
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, you know, he said he wanted to go for trophies, which was rubbish. If he'd wanted trophies, to be fair to your club, he'd have gone to City. But anyway, let's move on 100%. From that. Yes. I'm quite curious because I have a very bad taste for Mourinho. I have since he went for Wenger many years ago, and his attitude and his smugness. And, you know, regardless, I mean, if you'd have been top of the league, I'd have still been saying this, you know. And like you, most Arsenal fans want you to win the odd game, so he does stay because he is comedy TV. He is. I want to know how you feel when you watch him interviewed after games, because let's just touch on our game a little bit last night. He actually said that he thought we came for a point. I have to say, if that was Emery or Wenger or George Graham or Bruce Rioch saying that after a match like that, I'd have been slightly embarrassed. So what's it like watching him on interviews? Do you dread it?
It's, you know what, I could give you a list, but just in the last week, and this has been going on for probably 6-7 months now, I mean, he had a pop at Arsenal in the press conference before the game saying that Arsenal have got it easy because in the Europa League, you play your reserves again and you play easy opposition. I checked our group stage of the Europa League. You picked Zlatan, Pogba, first team. You didn't even play Europa League before us. You played Spurs. So the contradiction, and it's difficult in the Europa League. All right, it's not Champions League, but there are some decent teams in there. Then on to the game last night, you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, I'm just tired of it. I want him to go. So everything he says now, I would just say, frankly, that it's a load of nonsense. Because for me, I mean, I know you don't want to talk about the game much, but forgetting the goals, the last 20 minutes, Arsenal had, you know, that, you know, De Gea made a great save, but Arsenal had four chances that I could count. United had none.
Yeah.
So
that's why it's embarrassing.
Where were Arsenal
it?
Playing for the draw?
Exactly.
I think the last 2 minutes. Yeah, I think the last 2 minutes you did, because you're probably fearful of what United do in the last 2 minutes. They nick results by long ball. But apart from that, I think it's a nonsense. Arsenal should have won last night. I'll be frank, they should. And they were the better team in the last few minutes.
And also, I watched an interview with him when one of the, on Match of the Day, they asked him how he was going to stop, you know, your defence leaking goals. He said, I can't tell you that. And the commentator went, well, why can't you? He said, I'm Manchester United manager. I can't tell you that. I actually think he's, well, odd. If you know,
deflecting. He deflects everything. He's a deflector. He's the master deflector. His team is so terrible.
Yeah, but hold
it's so
on.
Bad.
So Wenger was the master deflector, but he wouldn't come out with the odd things that he says. He's like he's deluded.
Different personalities.
Yeah.
He's so arrogant. His arrogance is different to Wenger's arrogance, isn't it? Wenger's was steeped in skill and masterful kind of football talk and being like the professor, whereas Jose is just an arrogant man.
It's just about him, isn't it? It's about him all the time. It's really, really bizarre. I mean, anyway, Kev, did you want to ask Mark something?
Yeah. Hi, Mark. Mark, I live in Manchester and I've got loads of red mates and every single one of them want Mourinho out. And I think they respect Mourinho as a man and a manager for what he's done. But what they're saying is they're looking at the way the team are playing and the way the club is being run, and they're not happy at all. What's your thoughts on it? And who would you consider to take the job if and when Mourinho loses his job?
I think you're right, Kevin. I think that is the big thing with Manchester United. I mean, you know, Arsenal have a history, Liverpool have a history, and I think obviously Manchester United do. Chelsea, Spurs and City, it's debatable. But the reality is that, you know, we have a history of playing good football. And I think when we got Mourinho, I knew what we were getting. I knew the youth wouldn't be developed. I knew it would be boring at times, but also knew that he wins the title everywhere he goes in his first 2 years. And it's clear that football's moved on. I mean, you see it with Sarri and Emery. They've been there at their clubs respectively 4 months and you can see the progress. Mourinho's been there 3 years and we're actually getting worse now. And you look at the top two, Liverpool and City, which is what everyone's trying to be. They're so consistent and they score a lot of goals and they play good football. And that's the problem. So looking at alternatives, I mean, Zidane's out there. There's a lot of United fans who don't want Zidane, which I find funny because I was always impressed with Zidane, the way he adapted Real Madrid. I think people think you're a manager of Real Madrid and you just win trophies. Well, that's never been the case. They've spent a lot of money and they don't always win. And he's won back to back Champions League, which I think shows that he's a decent manager. I like Laurent Blanc as an outsider. I like what he's done. Managed Bordeaux, won the title there, then went to PSG, out of a job. They're both free at the moment.
And obviously, he knows the club, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that helps. You know, I get not a lot of people talking about him, but I'd like him as well. And then Pochettino is, I would say, the number one with United fans.
Can I ask a question? Why is he number one, though? What's he done at Tottenham? Let's just stop a second, because obviously we've got that rivalry. He hasn't won anything. Now, United are a club that have won trophies over the years. You're a massive club. Pochettino's
won.
No,
he has won.
What, League Cup?
He's won a fourth place. No, he's won a fourth. He's won a top four spot. That's
top
what
four in December.
That trophy
the Spurs fans
used to poo-poo.
No, the trophy that Spurs fans keep telling me today they've won, yeah, because they won last night and they've got third place today. Is that the trophy you're talking about, Kev? Because he's very successful at that. Sorry. Mark, so Pochettino, which is quite interesting because I was going to talk to you about this. Why do you want him?
I think it probably goes back to what Kevin was saying about, you know, he does play, you know, I have watched a lot of Spurs because of the Champions League and they're always last year and this year, they're always in an interesting group. They do play a far better brand of football than we do, which isn't hard, you know, Everton do as well. So maybe we should be looking at that silver fella. But no, I think there's a lot of people who like Pochettino because obviously at Southampton and then at Spurs, he picks up players for good value. He does develop youth and he does play good football. And I think United fans at the moment would take that over Mourinho. That's how bad it is because we want it. But you're right. I mean, Pochettino,
he hasn't won anything.
One thing I've noticed with him, he doesn't adapt to the game quick enough either. I think I watched the game at the weekend that you won and I could see it coming a mile off, even though they were 2-1 up. And it was like, he's not adapting to this. And I think that's sort of why they never get near a title challenge because he doesn't see the problems coming, Pochettino, as far as I'm concerned. And that's probably why he doesn't get over the line with
they
trophies.
Were 4-2 down and they were making subs with 10 minutes to go. And, you know, his naivety was evident in that Juventus game and Champions League last season too.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I think do you think that they feel like maybe with better players across the park that he'll be able to rise to the occasion maybe at Manchester United or kind of work with someone and bring in an ex-player, maybe like a Gary Neville to work alongside him. Do you think there's any chance that someone like he could come back into the club? Or do you think he'll be a pundit forever now?
I think Gary Neville is suited as a pundit. I think he's one of the better pundits. I do like him. I don't always agree with him, but I do like him. And I don't think he'd make a good coach. And I think with Pochettino, he's quite similar to someone like Eddie Howe. I think the club would swallow him up. I mean, Mourinho is the right man for the job. He's just the wrong football coach. I mean, he's big enough. He's got the big enough personality to take that job. He's just been the wrong fit. And sometimes you have to accept that. I think Pochettino, Eddie Howe, Jardim, it's a massive club. It's a massive club. And that's what, you know, maybe Emery's done well at Arsenal because he'd previously been at PSG because Ed Woodward, for what anybody says as our chief executive, he will dictate how things are going to run. And if you go in there a little bit wet beyond your ears, you're going to get bossed, really.
You should get Wenger.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
I've heard his name mentioned, funnily enough. I mean, a big, big, big no from me. But, you know, I have heard his name. That's how desperate United fans are there. Let's get Wenger in until the end of the season. I'm like, what?
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's hilarious.
I was going to say. Oh, that is funny. Kev, go on. Sorry, I've lost my train of thought.
I just did when they mentioned Wenger, but
yeah, that's what happened to me. I just lost where I was going to go. Completely.
Oh, Mark, that's it.
Couldn't resist. Sorry, kids.
No, yeah, no, you couldn't resist that one, Mark. So, as far as I'm concerned, what's your take on the Pogba situation? Because infighting at Manchester United has never happened. Never happens. It's always it's always quite respectful. And when it was under Sir Alex, we know he was the ruler of the roost. So what do you make of this Pogba situation?
I think it's all caused by Mourinho, first of all, because you're right about Sir Alex Ferguson. He used to frustrate me because if we'd lose a game, he'd wait for his press conference and he'd never say anything because it was all kept in house, which actually is brilliant management. As a fan, you're neglected because you don't know what's going on, but it's kept in house. Mourinho is totally the opposite. We had a little bit of it with Van Gaal, but Mourinho's totally open season because it's deflection. He always comes out and says the players haven't done this, they haven't done that. And he's very blunt in who those players are. So he throws his players under the bus, which I think has caused the issue. But I mean, what I get a lot, because on Twitter, you know, I do watch a lot of football. So I will, on my account, I will get involved in non-United stuff. So, and a lot of Liverpool fans, Arsenal fans, Chelsea fans will say, we'd like Martial, Bailly, Pogba, De Gea. That's all we take from your squad. So I think when rival fans are looking at players and going, we'd take them. And I think that's the thing with Pogba. I don't know whether Pogba's good enough for the Premier League, but I certainly don't think you can judge him under Mourinho. I think if you put him in a Man City team or even an Arsenal team last night, then you'd see what Pogba's all about, because he's so restricted. Like all of our flair players, like Sanchez, like Martial, like Rashford, they've all had problems. And I think I just am willing to give the players the benefit of the doubt, because I see how we play week in, week out, and it's not conducive to you know, if you could put Aubameyang in our team, you could put Mkhitaryan. Well, we've already had Mkhitaryan fail at United. Ozil, they'll all fail because they're not going to give the freedom to do what they need to do.
Mark, if you remember start of last season, United were scoring 4 goals a game, looking really athletic and powerful, scoring loads of goals. Do you think because the only thing that's changed from then to now, you finished the league second in the league, was the coach Rui Ferreira left, didn't he, in the summer? Do you think that's an issue?
100%. 100%, Kevin. I mean, I spoke about this a few weeks ago. Somebody actually called in about 3 months ago and nobody thought about it, even though it's really obvious. And it's been an agenda that we've spoke about quite a lot over the last 3 months, because Rui Ferreira has been with Mourinho most of his career, and that gets removed. And suddenly Mourinho parked the bus. We've conceded we must be up to nearly the same amount of goals now in December that we conceded all of last season. It's abundantly clear that we're defensively chaotic. And that's something that Mourinho's never been. And you've hit the nail on the head. Why is that then? Oh, we've replaced Rui Ferreira with Michael Carrick and McKenna from the youth setup. I think Mourinho has lost somebody who was absolutely essential to what he's done over his career. And, you know, I don't think that that should be hidden. I think Mourinho tries to hide it because he wants it to be all about him. But the reality is, I think he's lost half his coaching book with Rui Ferreira going. And we were the worst team. We were terrible to get second last year. I think we were one of the worst second teams ever, but we were so far behind City, no one thought about it. But defensively, we were good. We ground out results. We can't do that now because we're not defensively good enough.
And it's interesting how other managers adapt. Mark, what you're saying is so true in terms of, you know, they lose their assistant, you know, they go because a lot of the times that assistant gets an opportunity to manage a team themselves and stuff like that. And let me ask you this. This team that you have currently, if Pep Guardiola is your manager, how's this team performing? What does this team look like? And are you a far superior team than you are now? Is this really all down to him? Or do you have average players who are walking around like world-class players?
I don't think Pep Guardiola could turn this Manchester United side into title winners. I don't know whether you think he could turn your current Arsenal side into it, but I certainly think that I don't think that the problems at Manchester United are solved with a checkbook now. I think they're solved by the removal of the manager. I think we could do with a couple of extra players. I said this before. I love Aubameyang and I love Torreira, and it annoys me that we were never in for those players, especially Aubameyang, has been speaking about him for so many years, about how perfect he'd be for United. And I hate to say it about a rival, but he's a really good signing. And I think, you know, I look at Lukaku, what a bad signing he is. But I do look at that team and I think, well, Pep Guardiola, he would get the best out of Fred, Pogba, Martial, Rashford, Pereira, who, you know, two players who were fit and didn't even make the bench yesterday. But I still would say that this team needs a manager like that to come in. And then we need to go on the journey that maybe Chelsea and yourselves are going through. You know, I don't think it's one manager comes in and we win the title. I'm totally accepting of that. But I do think we've got a far better squad than what we're seeing.
Mark, just going back to City and talking about the title and everything, how awful is it for you that City are first and Liverpool are second?
It's a difficult one, and I think this is like Manchester United, much like Arsenal, have massive support around the UK and around the world. And I know a lot of people from Manchester, because we've got good relationships, especially with the hotel up there. And, you know, the Man City thing hurts because they live in Manchester. For me, Liverpool have always been the enemy. They're always the biggest game. And a lot of Mancunians feel that as well. So Man City, in an odd way, are a sort of a security blanket at the moment, because they're like, well, I don't want Man City to win it, but as long as Liverpool don't win it. But it's, I mean, it's, a, you know, to be honest, the race for top four looks great and the race for the title looks great, but it doesn't look great for a United fan because we're not in either.
Yeah, that's my point. So I'm going to ask you, if one of them's going to win it and it does look like one is, who's the lesser of two evils for you?
Oh, it's 100% City. I mean, I remember the year Gerrard slipped, which was because Mourinho went up there with the reserves and beat them. I was ecstatic. I just do not want Liverpool to win it. And I know loads of Liverpool fans and they're the same about us. You know, enemies don't have to be, I mean, sorry, rivals don't have to be enemies, but you know, I wouldn't give them anything. I do not want Liverpool to win the title.
Right. Okay. That's fair enough.
So, just like we would never want Tottenham to win the title.
No, but they've got two, though. We don't have
two. It's not the same.
I think it's the history thing as well.
City have been so bad for so long and the new money has made them great. Yeah. It's a different kind of history. Really. It's just different.
It's about the history. Liverpool won all them titles and then Manchester United have overtaken them. And Manchester United definitely don't want Liverpool to win it again and challenge them. So there's a lot of history there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, City, like you say, they didn't really exist 15 years ago, did they? And, you know, no. They're going to have, if they win it over the next 20 years, then maybe they'll build some history and get some fans. But at the moment, I think it's only really the local fans that feel it. And I think Liverpool have the same. You know, they want to win against Everton, but really it's United. It's Liverpool United is a massive, massive thing.
And Fergie helped cement that with his pursuit of the European trophies. And he was vocal about that. And his eye on the rivalry prize was always Liverpool and beating their records. It was always about them.
But Arsenal, you know, just as we were saying before, the Arsenal rivalry, I've always said in the late 90s, I mean, that was proper as well. It's a shame that sort of died, because both of us are now, you know, we lost our way a bit and we're trying to get back, because that was massive as well.
It was. I'd love to. You know what, Mark? We need to have you back on to talk all about that, because I know you have to go. It's been absolutely fantastic to get a perspective of a Man United fan that isn't too irate, because I know quite a few, and obviously Kev does as well. So really, really appreciate you joining us on the Highbury Squad tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I have. I could speak to you for ages. I really appreciate it. And thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for your time. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Really
We're
appreciate it.
We're going to have to do
Mark.
an old school pod and rewind the years, Amanda, and get stuck into the Keno and Vieira stuff. Yeah.
Would you like to come back, Mark, and talk to us?
100%. Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. I mean, it was a brilliant rivalry, and I absolutely loved it. You know, I think football rivalry, as I say, you don't, you know, you're enemies, but you don't have to be, you know.
No, exactly.
Bitter about it. You know, sometimes you just got to embrace it, and it was a great time.
Unless you're a Tottenham fan with Arsenal fans. No. But thank you so much for coming on, and we'll catch up with you later. Thank you.
All right. Thanks all. Take care.
Cheers.
Bye, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so I'd like to say thanks to Mark for coming on. Really enjoyed the chat, and we will get him back so we can talk old school Arsenal and United, because I think there's quite a bit to talk about. But now we're going to actually talk about the game that we played last night. Arsenal went to Old Trafford 3 days after we played Tottenham. Now, Kev, you were there, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Right. Kev was there. I was watching at home, absolutely plutzing, and my blood pressure went through the roof. Soph, were you up? Oh, yeah, you was up, wasn't you?
I had it on while I was sneaky second screen at work. Do you know what I'm saying? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
I know what you mean. So, because there's so many decisions that we could discuss, we thought we'd bring the ref back on. So, the ref is joining us. Hello, ref.
Hello there, you okay?
Yeah, it's a really, really strange game. But, you know, Sophie, Kev and I haven't discussed it yet. So I think we'll just go bit by bit. So, Kev, what was it like being there?
Arsenal fans were absolutely amazing yesterday. Really up for it. The energy in the away end was brilliant.
Shame, Kev. It didn't come through that on the TV.
Yeah, really? It sounded like the prawn sandwiches era, didn't it, Amanda?
No, honestly, anybody who was there will tell you the energy from the Arsenal fans was immense.
Aww.
But you know, sometimes you watch it on TV, you can't actually get that, especially away from home. But the away support was amazing, honestly.
So good really you were was. There. So good. So I was quite impressed and happy with the team when it was announced. Let's go into it now. All right. So we kick off and then tell us what it was like, Kev, because I just think we just get such a different view on TV. We look like we controlled most of that game, but am I wrong?
Well, no, I think United started off not too bad. Mm. They started off pretty sharp and were trying to press us. But we're made of sterner stuff now, and we've got the game plan we've got. We kind of took the sting out of Manchester United by passing it side to side. And, you know, if the press is coming a bit too high, we'll even go back to Leno and start again. I think that's really important to the way this team's set up. But as soon as we made them back off, it was all Arsenal, wasn't it? You know, I think Ramsey kind of nearly got in, and Aubameyang nearly got in, and we were starting to go pretty close. And honestly, Old Trafford, it was a weird feeling. Old Trafford was quiet.
I've said it that for ages.
It was the home fans who were just quiet because they had nothing to cheer
about. Nothing. They're so rancid. Honestly, they're really not a great team, are they? And I don't think that we felt troubled. Is that the feeling you got when you were there? Like, did we ever feel like we were really troubled?
Yeah, no. Sophie, we weren't worried at all. Throughout the whole game, I don't think we were worried. I just think it was a matter of us trying to stay in front when we got in front, you know. Obviously, as soon as we score and then they equalise, then the home fans start to get behind the team a little bit more. But, you know, we just constantly kept taking the sting out of the wind out of their sails. And it was just a matter of, could we actually get over the line and win this game? Because, again, I didn't feel worried by Manchester United at all. We know what type of players they've got. And when you, I don't want to jump too far, but when you see this Man United team change tactic and start lumping it forward, you know who the best team is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just thought if we'd had a little bit more luck, because of the injuries.
Yeah.
The injuries really hurt us, I believe, because Unai Emery's scheming and tactical awareness couldn't take place because he had to make changes that were forced on him.
Also, okay, so let's just go to our first goal, which was a Torreira corner to a header by Mustafi. I'm not sure what De Gea was doing. I'm not sure if I blame it. I don't know what he was doing. They had a man on the line that kicked it off the line, but it wasn't on the line. Obviously, it was in. Now, if we didn't have goal line technology, I'm telling you now, Kev, that wouldn't have been given. Because
I know.
Do you agree with me? Because when I watched it on TV, right, it didn't look, to me, on TV, it didn't look over. It just like cleared it off the line.
It didn't. Or me either.
No, I didn't even know. And also, I didn't know he had that watch on that tells him or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's at every ground now, I think.
Oh, fantastic.
All the refs have it now at Premier League grounds. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a system where the ball is chipped. So the ball the chip in the ball tells the referee via a watch system whether the ball has crossed the line or not. And that's mandatory across the Premier League.
Okay.
Which I think is fantastic.
I do. I do. I'm not sure about VAR, but we're not going to discuss that. But I quite like this goal line technology because when they actually showed us the graphic, it was completely over in a bit of space. So I'm really pleased. So we go 1-0 up. Now we need to talk about some of the decisions. That's why we got the ref here. I don't know where to start, if I'm honest. Let's start with Rojo or whatever you call him.
No, start with Marshall.
Marshall, go on then, Kev. Talk to the ref.
Well, we know Anthony Marshall's great at running with the ball, but I believe he conned the ref there by sticking his leg out and initiating the contact. And the ref was right there. He saw it, but I believe he initiated the contact. What did you think, ref?
I agree. And this goes back to a problem that I think refereeing has in general and has had for a while, actually. And that is most referees who referee at the top level have never played the game. So they seem unable to understand that a player is smart or cute. And that what you've just described there, you see a lot of players do it. It's becoming more prevalent in the game now and will become more prevalent because of VAR coming in, because of the way that technology and cameras are picking up on things. The old traditional dive of a player actually going over with no contact and deliberately trying to con the referee by throwing himself to the floor will start to become less and less because it'll be picked up and players will be treated retrospectively or even in the game where they'll get a yellow card, in some cases a second yellow card, because the VAR will pick up that they've actually conned the referee and dived. Where they initiate the contact and they put the leg out, it's more difficult to prove that's what they're doing, but they do it, and players do it more and more. Raheem Sterling does it a lot. Anthony Martial does it a lot. Sort of just initiates it, gets the contact, feels the contact, goes down, and the referees are not cute or smart enough and have not played the game to a decent level where they understand exactly what's happening in front of them. Difficult for them to pick it up. They seem unable to do so.
Okay, so then, Kev.
And then.
Then.
The free kick comes in.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's Herrera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is in is. Front of the play.
Yeah.
Or his yeah. head offside. Is. Or, yeah. So he's offside technically, isn't he, ref?
He is, but he is offside. What I will say on that, I paused it to have a look at it, and he's definitely offside. What I will say about that is, Kevin, that no Arsenal player appealed. You watch it, one Arsenal, I'm not saying you have to, by the way, it's not cricket where you have to appeal. I'm just saying the linesman hasn't picked up his offside. Actually, neither is the defence who's meant to organise the fact that somebody could be offside, which I found quite interesting. Nobody has picked that up. Everyone was looking at each other as to say, how's that happened?
Yeah, well.
And I just thought that was interesting. I think
it was very tight, though.
It was tight, but the linesman should be in line with that. He should be able to see it. So I think the linesman has heard. I just think he's made a mistake. I don't think he's sat. I think he may be watching other things as well, because don't forget, at a free kick like that, you have a lot of tussling that goes on in the box. You have, so people's eyes are watching different things, but the linesman should be absolutely watching for players to break away to get in an offside position, because it's clear he gets a 2-yard advantage in the end.
But in the end, we've been given the goal, right, Kev and Amanda? We've been given the goal at the other end because of technology. And then we've had a goal go against us because of the lack of technology. I think that's the frustrating part right now where fans are at. Because, you know, if there was some type of lino technology there, then, you know, that goal that's not standing. You know, United are offside and the game goes on.
But so how many goals have we been given recently?
I know.
We have been offside and we've been lucky. So I've always said it swings and roundabouts.
It's for all teams. It is. I say it's for all teams. It's not just us.
No, it isn't.
Can I jump in here? I disagree on this, and I tell you what I disagree on, and I'm sort of going to be a bit of a hypocrite. Now, you know very well from the amount of times I've spoken on this pod that I don't like VAR in its entirety. I don't like VAR where it's a judgment call. where a person can give an opinion. I don't like it because you can have two different people having different opinions on the same tackle, watch it five times, and people have the same different opinion. I just think let the referee ref it. Where VAR can definitely assist is offside. And I do not agree with the swings and roundabouts argument. That statistically and realistically makes absolutely no sense, because you may be given one and then get one. But that doesn't mean that, just say, for example, Arsenal miss out on a Champions League spot or whatever by 2 points.
Yeah.
And that game, Kevin, I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember? Oh, it was going back years and years, but Everton were playing Bolton away. And there was an over the line decision in that game that went in Everton's favour. And Bolton ended up getting relegated by 1 point.
By 1 point, yes, I do, yeah.
And you look at that and you go, wow, that's dictated, could dictate a side's future. You know, yeah. not just 2 points. That could stop a team from being relegated. I don't buy that you get one, you lose one. That's not true. It just isn't true. Statistically, it's not true. There's no way of proving that. You can't prove it. So for me, if you can help linesman and referee by giving line calls, and your absolute example is the over the line, it works. There's not been an error. There can't be an error because it's a fact.
Then for that reason, ref, then for that reason, then your perspective on VAR kind of sucks, because that would eliminate all of that.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It would eliminate most of it. No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't, Sophie. It would eliminate line calls. It would not eliminate somebody's view on a situation. Most football decisions, refereeing decisions, is an opinion, not a fact.
Yeah.
Over the line.
But those
is a
opinions
fact.
Result in moments, free kicks, no, penalties, no, no, disallowed no, goals, allowed goals.
No, Amanda, Sophie, you're not understanding what I'm saying. The point is, the way that VAR will operate and the way it does operate is the final call. If in the case of no clear and obvious error by a referee, it goes back to the referee on the field. Yeah, that's how it works. So it goes back to the referee on the field. If in a judgment call, i.e. my opinion of that tackle, yeah, when I've watched it, I've seen it, you're going to get a situation where you're going to have two different people giving the different opinions on the same tackle. And to me, it muddies waters. Do it for line calls. Offsides, absolutely. You can do it. The technology is there. You can do it for over the line. You can do it for whether a ball's gone out for a blooming throw-in or a corner, or if it's come off another player. You can do all that. What you can't do it for is a matter of opinion, because opinions can vary from one person
they
to the next.
They can. We're not going to discuss VAR. We need to discuss this game, and we haven't got long left. So,
sorry.
That's okay. Kev, let's discuss. So we go one up.
Rojo,
we're going to discuss that. We go one up, and obviously then they get an offside goal, which, you know, he's in an offside position. He makes the assist. It to me, is an offside goal. Let's talk about Rojo a second, with the own goal with Lacazette as well, plus a few of his fouls. What do you reckon?
Well, that foul in the first half, where Guendouzi's cleared the ball and he's coming two-footed
the box. Did he get booked for that?
He got a yellow card for that, yeah.
What do you think is a red?
When I first looked at it, he wasn't in control of his body.
He's never in control of anything, that guy.
He used the scissor motion, and he caught. He was nowhere near the ball.
Okay, so it's a red for you, a straight red, yeah?
For me, that was a red.
So, straight red for you?
Debatable. I think if his feet were up a little more, then yes.
Okay. Ref, straight red or not?
Hallelujah, I agree with Sophie on this. Right, so I think both
Dear
of
God.
Yous are right.
Holy cow. Pigs are
What's
flying.
What's the world coming to? No, he is out of control. And if he got a red card, he could never complain. Because if you tackle like that, you're inviting the referee to give a red card. What saves him is if you watch the tackle, and I think the referee has seen it, he realises Rojo. And if you watch his feet, what he doesn't do is he doesn't keep his feet straight. If he keeps his feet straight out, then he's going to get a red card. He just pulls his feet down and away slightly. The contact's made. He's out of control. I don't think it's a red card, but if he did get a red card, he could have zero complaints. Because if you tackle like that, you are going to get a red card eventually.
Okay, so Kev, any other tackles from Rojo during the game that you could have got another yellow?
Not necessarily first half or anything like that. I just thought United came out to be physical with Arsenal.
Yeah.
You could see that in the first half especially. And they were leaving their foot on it, on them and stuff like that. No, but I don't think there was other tackles. Obviously, the Lacazette goal.
Okay, well, listen, Rojo took Lacazette out and it hit his leg and it went in. It would have been a penalty. Yeah. He would have got a second yellow and he would have gone. So it might have helped us more if it didn't go in and we'd have scored the penalty and had gone, but he didn't. I'm not keen on him as a player. I actually think a bit like Soph with that one.
They were dirty yesterday, weren't they? Across the board, were dirty.
Can I just ask Kevin something? You were at the game, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I've not seen the full 90 minutes. I've seen highlights of the game, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, it seems to me that the referee has handed 5 yellow cards out in the space of about 5 minutes.
He did, yeah.
Now, that's dangerous as a referee. That shows a referee is losing control of the game. Because what he's done is he's given a yellow card and then he's felt in his own head that he's now set a precedent. And he's now got to give every foul he gives. Now, all those fouls that I saw, actually, are all a card, really. There's none of them I've seen and gone, that's not a card. But I've not seen the full 90 minutes, but I will guarantee you, in the second half, there will have been tackles that if that had have been a minute later in the first half, he would have given a yellow card for.
Was there
100%? 100%.
Okay, so
that's a referee who's lost control of the game.
Okay, so we now are, it's now 1-1, yeah? We now get Lacazette scores, it's now 2-1. Kev, what are you taught from kickoff? What are you taught from kickoff? I'm not being funny. No. That is one of our worst goals that we've given away in a very, very long time. Kolasinac.
Amanda.
Honestly. Gone.
No, Amanda. They did switch on. It was just a bad touch.
Mustafi.
Oh, yeah. Kev.
No.
It was Kolasinac
touched it.
Yeah.
It was just a bad touch. If he would have swung his right and cleared it, would have been fine. But it was a bad touch. I know, look.
Was it Kolasinac or Mustafi?
No, it was Kolasinac.
They were celebrating. It was mad.
We hadn't even time to sit down, I didn't think, before from celebrating. It was a bad touch. Look, I love Kolasinac. At the end of the day, you've got to look at it like this. It happens in football. I just hate it from the kickoff. I just think that is the time that we need to be so protective, and we weren't.
Yeah, agreed.
Did you think Leno did a good job?
No, I was about to jump in there, and I think Leno is partly to blame as well. I think if he comes out, I think if that's Edison, or if it's Alisson, or if it's De Gea, I know De Gea made the mistake in the first, but it's very rare. Those three goalkeepers come and collect the ball.
No, I think you're wrong.
Okay. I'll tell you why I think you're wrong,
and you're being really harsh on Leno. Leno doesn't know what Kolasinac is going to do.
Yeah, I was going to say that, funny enough.
How do you come out when he could go to clear it? It goes to Lingard on the edge of the box and he rolls it in the net. You're going to say, what are you coming for?
Not in my opinion. I think the main error is the defender, by the way. I'm not saying Leno's fully to blame. All I'm saying is that the better goal, in my opinion, the best goal, I'm not saying Leno's a bad goal. He's a good goalkeeper. I'm just saying, for me, he wasn't as switched on in the moment as maybe he could have been.
Do you know what, Riff? I think he was shocked.
Maybe.
Of the touch. Yeah, yeah. I'll be honest with you. He tried to come out and smother it, but Lingard put it underneath him.
Okay.
Crazy touch.
It was crazy, and it's typical us of probably more like last year than this year. And then the game.
Awful goals all the way around.
The whole game was so strange. And my Man United friend said the same thing, funny enough. So very strange game. But then, you know, the last 20 minutes, Kev, you must have thought we were going to score. You know, you've got Aubameyang should have scored. Mkhitaryan should have scored. Then Aubameyang has a great shot. And you just think, no, I mean, obviously Mkhitaryan did score from a very tight angle, but was offside. And,
yeah.
And then I think what Mark said in the previous podcast was right. Arsenal then for the last 2 minutes, and I did tweet this. I said, Arsenal, if you can't win this game, don't lose it. Just don't lose it, because that is so us. Wouldn't it have been of the last three or four seasons, we would have gone 3-2 at Old Trafford easily.
Typical.
Easily. Yeah, typical. But because we are slightly different under Emery, we're going to have to finish in a minute. We need to discuss predictions. So we're going to say goodbye to the ref. Referee, thank you so much for joining us.
One last thing. Fellaini gets away with a hair pull.
Oh, yeah, we need to talk about that. Yeah, Guendouzi. Now,
That would have only been a yellow.
Would it?
You know, American football, you can use the hair. Troy Polamalu used to suffer from this all the time at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
There might be a case that Fellaini only did it because he had his hair cut.
Yeah, he missed his own hair.
Yeah, true.
But will he get retrospective on that? Because it's quite blatant.
Can't see it. It's only a yellow.
Right, okay. Can't see it. So, ref again, you've been brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us for all our points that we want to discuss.
No problem. Take care, everyone.
Take care.
Thanks, ref.
Bye, ref.
See you, bye. Yeah.
Bye, ref. I got out of there without a yellow or a red today,
you
man.
You did. So, boys and girls, we now move on. It's such a full podcast, this one. We now move on to Huddersfield. It's coming thick and fast. And I just would like to say something about the game, because I did tweet this. I'm saying this now. If we'd have had that week's rest, we would have whipped United's arses. They are so poor. But because everything was given on Sunday lunchtime to the Spurs game, I think we just lacked a little bit of sharpness, if I'm honest. I've got no problems with the team. The games are drawn up that we play Tottenham Sunday, United Wednesday. Now we've got a 3 o'clock on Saturday at home. So, Kevin, what is your prediction?
Oh, you know what? I believe Arsenal are going to win this convincingly.
Okay.
I'm going for 4-1.
Nice.
A rout. It's going to be a rout.
Miss Sophie.
Well, Ms. PG, I completely agree with your analysis on the game, by the way. 100% correct. You hit the nail on the head, kiddo. And I agree with Kev as well. Too much agreement, but I love it when we're all harmonious.
Oh, by the way, Sophie,
to the Gunners. Yes,
Sophie,
babe.
Well done for getting
the... Oh, my God.
All right. Well
Kevin,
done.
Round of applause.
Well done for getting the... Yay, well done, though.
You did, darling.
Thanks, Kev. Thanks,
we are.
Thanks,
I tell you, the three of us are getting them right. It's quite good.
Good.
What are you going to go for? What's your figure on Saturday?
5-2. I really feel like that we're going to win this convincingly. Huddersfield have tried and battled a lot in the last couple of weeks. I think Emery's going to have the boys whipped up into shape for this one. And I know that we have some niggly injuries, but we have to beat these guys convincingly. Keep that machine rolling. What number would it be?
21. Key of the door, as they say. So is that 18? I can't remember. So long ago for me. Right. So me, definite win on Saturday. I was thinking 3-1, but I think after the injuries and after the fact that it's three games in a week, big two heavy games, I'm going 2-1. 2-1 to the Arsenal. And I feel that, I'm hoping. Ozil's back. We need some creativity. We need some change. Just feel like some of the boys might need a little bit of a rest. But yeah, we're all going for a win. So,
will we see Mesut Ozil?
I hope so.
We will in this game.
I think it's a nice, easy game for him
to come into.
I do as well. I think we missed him, Kev. We missed him and Xhaka, funny enough. We did.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to have that little, bit of creativity. Just a little change. I mean, look, you know what? I think Torreira, phenomenal. Phenomenal. I'm in love with him. Exactly what we need.
I think we all are.
We
didn't have a killer pass. We didn't have a killer a killer pass would have killed United off last night.
That's what
would
I mean. And, you know,
we didn't have it.
And you know, it's such a shame because it was there for the take. They are pants. I'm sorry, they are. And I agree with what Mark said about them. But I also feel that, you know, our mentality is not to lose. And I'm loving it. And I was quite disappointed. I was quite surprised, actually, to see tweets like disappointed in last night. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I get it, Kev. You were there. You saw what we missed. Yeah. I do get it. But you know what? You offer me 4 points from Tottenham and United. I'm taking it. You know, I am taking it. We are, where our defending is, I don't even know what to say. Keystone Kop defending. I don't know what to say anymore.
Well, that's our weak spot, isn't it?
It is. It really is our weak spot, you know. And, you know, we need to keep Lacazette, Aubameyang and Torreira fit. That's all I can say. So we're going for a win. And then what happens after Huddersfield? Who have we got? Is it another Europa League? I think it is, actually.
Is it Karabakh?
No, that's the 19th of December. That's the week after.
We've got Karabakh on the 13th. Then we go to Southampton. And then we play Tottenham in the League Cup.
Kev, I thought you meant the Carabao Cup. You meant Karabakh. I apologise, Mr. Campbell.
What, am I trying to bring it closer? What a bad, I want to do it.
No, I could leave Tottenham for about another 10 days. Thanks very much. Right, you two. Thanks for joining me again on the Highbury Squad. Thanks to everyone that listens and tweets us. And now we're on Facebook and Instagram. Come and see us. And I know you love our little predictions because you're always trying to catch me out because of what Kevin always says. Don't you, Kevin? you little rascal you are.
Just don't change it, PG.
I sat here and I thought, shall I go 3-1? Shall I go 2-1? What do I fancy? Because I can't change it. Thank you for everyone. And I really appreciate, again, all your comments about my little Sky Sports thing. It was such fun. So now we move on. We've got Huddersfield next. Looking forward to it. 3 o'clock Saturday kickoff. Come on, you Reds. Let's do it. Let's get 21 unbeaten. And always Arsenal.